welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the bastion of free speech. You want to go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels or whatever, send stuff, send crypto. I don't know if we can do that, but try it. Well, let's see. Keep free speech alive. Go to nationalbugle.com, download the Koshertified app, make 2020 year one of your non-kosher certified lifestyle. Now, today we've got really, really big news. There's just momentous events going on that potentially could shape the future of our leadership, the very tenure of our great leader. Oh, and also President Trump's trial starting in the Senate.
Deep in the heart of Gotham City, Patrick sits in the Batcave. Mr. T shines the Batlight, beckoning William from Montana to the call of justice and duty. William from Montana, please call me. I want to talk to you about Russia. Please call me at RBN, 1-800-313-9443. William!
Oh, yeah. So William from Montana, he listens to the show sometimes. Sometimes he calls in. I don't know if he's listening now, but if he is listening, please call. I'd like to talk to you about this business with Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev resigning and his entire cabinet resigning. I think it's interesting, and I'd like to talk about it. And for those of you who might not listen to the show regularly, I kid around a bit. I joke. I know that President Putin is not our president. Our president is President Trump. But I like to have fun. All right. So we'll see if William calls. But this is a live show. It is a call-in show. And the number here at RBN is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. So call. We can talk about Putin. We can talk about Trump. We can talk about dogs. We can talk about daughters. You know, no big whoop. I will give William priority if he calls in, though. Oh, wow. William, did you see the bat light?
Yep. My ears were ringing. I was entirely involved in feeding my birds, and I heard the call, and my ears ring first, and I said, I better run back into the phone booth, see what's happening.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad it worked. So I had a big interest in Russia and the Soviet Union. I was fascinated by Mikhail Gorbachev. I had visited the Soviet Union once before Gorbachev, just because I wanted to see whether it was really better to be dead than red. And my conclusion was actually, no, probably not. Probably not better to be dead than red. And so I took a great fascination in it. But, you know, in the past couple of decades, it seemed like Putin kind of had things under control. And so I moved my attention elsewhere. So I do defer to you. So President Putin remains pretty popular, right? 60-70% in the polls, depending on, you know, when it's taken.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe down a little bit recently?
Maybe a little bit higher, maybe.
Maybe a little up recently, okay. Medvedev, who was, shall we say, the caretaker president from 2008 to 2012, when Vladimir Putin was term limited out of office. And then since then, for the past 8 years, he's been prime minister. But he's been, he's not nearly as popular. He is a bit of an independent political force. And so just to set it up, yesterday, President Putin was giving what one would have thought was kind of a run-of-the-mill State of the State of the Nation address, and he proposed some constitutional changes which would actually weaken the powers of the presidency. Of course, he's not going to be president after 2024, presumably. And Medvedev would have been a leading contender to be president. What do we make of this? Medvedev immediately resigned, and the entire Russian cabinet resigned. And now he's being replaced by the head tax collector. What's his name? Mishustin. Who, just because I'm obsessed with these things, is half Jewish, but as far as I'm concerned, he's a clean slate. I want to hear about what's going on. So, was there something that we should have predicted from this, or could have expected? What's going on?
Well, you know, it definitely was a shock. If I've been reading all the commentators, and they're all over the boards. I mean, even Russian commentators are trying to figure out. One of the things that you should remember is that these were just proposals. You know, there's going to be like a committee convened to look at the details of these things. So it's not like Putin changed the Constitution or even, you know, demanded that the Constitution be changed. And many of these things, if you've been listening to some of the, you know, the machinations in the Russian Duma, I mean, these things have been brought up before, and it was inevitable that something someday was going to have to happen because, you know, Putin is, you know, he's 16 years as president. And of course, Western sources
plus the 4 years as prime minister under
they just sort of did a
switcheroo, right?
Yeah, and some people say that you know during that period of time, Putin really was still in charge. That this was just window dressing, so everybody knew that someday soon. This is being discussed. They had to sort of, you know, start dealing with what happens to Russia after Putin, you know. And like I say, there American commentators would say, well, he's actually, this is all just window dressing, and Putin actually is, you know, the new czar, and he's going to live out his life, you know, being the czar. There's not going to be a change. All this voting and stuff was just, you know, more Russian deception. But, you know, in Russia, they knew that eventually something had to be done, you know, to prepare for time after Putin. Well, it's interesting that some of the proposals, one of the proposals that he put into this thing was that, you know, instead of the, you know, you had to be lived in Russia for 25 continuous years before taking office, and you could never have had a foreign passport or a residency permit.
Oh, that's very interesting.
And that's very interesting because it said, you know, and it's interesting if you'd go down and look at some of the, you know, sort of Western-leaning Moscow opposition, you know, who've popped up in these elections, many of these people would be disqualified by that.
And by having lived in which countries or having had what foreign passports?
You know, foreign passports, living in London, living in, Israel, you know, even living in the United States. It's interesting that Putin would have failed this thing because
having
he
lived in East Germany.
In East Germany,
although
you know,
he's there on official government business, obviously,
yeah,
KGB
5 years. Hmm. But it's basically that was seen. I didn't see anybody pick that up, but it was basically something that said we don't want to lose what we have gained. You know, under Putin, Russia has gone through an enormous transformation.
If I could just interrupt for just a second. So that, you know, no foreign passports, no living in foreign countries for particular periods of time, not only would it disqualify Russian oligarchs, some of whom might have their eye on that seat, but also it sets a stark contrast with Ukraine, where you've had so many Ukrainian officials who are like the governor of one of the states was the president of Georgia before he became a Ukrainian citizen. His name slips my mind. You know, you have the finance minister being an American citizen, not Jewish, but an American citizen. And then, of course, this recent revelation that they were offering the Ministry of Defense portfolio to Lieutenant Colonel Volinsky, I think was his name.
Yeah.
American Jew. So,
and it, you know, and one of the things about it is that this was, you know, this was brilliant because this was a brilliant move because one of the things it said was we have to short circuit this sort of very liquid, you know, like this chameleon sort of effect where people can be groomed outside of Russia to come back in and start talking about, you know, bringing back, you know, higher Social Security, you know, payments and, you know, free this, free that, you know, sort of heading back to sort of a communist, you know. So it puts, it takes out a lot of noise of foreign influence because that has been one of the ways in the last, you know, 7-8 years where people have, you know, tried to just go in. I mean, if you see how the United States has influenced regime change around the world, many of the people, like in Afghanistan and other places, were sort of groomed outside the country or at least under, you know, foreign influence to come back in and step into a position of pro-Western, you know, the leader of this new country where there was a regime change that have pro-Western leanings.
Mm. Yeah, so, I was thinking of Saakashvili, Mikhail Saakashvili, the Georgian president who became a big shot in Ukraine.
Yeah, and so this was a real, and like I say, if you look at the field of some of these yapping dogs that have been jumping up and down on Putin's heels in other elections, they all had sort of shady, you know, pro-Western leanings, living out of the country. So it was a real, it was a real wake-up call of saying Russia needs, you know, we don't want to lose the gains that we have made. And like I say, I've been following just the whole economic process, all the good decisions that they've made at the central bank. To basically move the economy away from just the oil and gas dominance, you know, and then you start seeing when you view all these new changes, and like I say, there were proposals, and you know, it basically said that we needed a strong president, a president that could control things, that could get things done. And but now we need to shift this to the Duma, where, you know, the parliament may have a little more power, and you start getting sort of this very similar to, you know, three powerful branches that check each other, you know, the judiciary, the, you know, the Duma, the parliament, and the presidency. And so it was basically saying we are in transition. And we need to make sure, for right off the bat, that Russia will be controlled or will have politicians that have Russia's interest, the Russian nation's interest, at heart. And then also, it's another way to say Russia is a very big country. I mean, it's 11 time zones. And one of the things that he proposed, some of the proposals he made, was to say we need to have a little more input into the way things run in Russia from the other regions. And because, you know, Russia is pretty much, you know, Moscow dominant, you know, and so much of almost everything that happens happens in Moscow. And Putin very wisely says we need to have other regions in Russia to have a say in how things happen, because, you know, if you've been following him the last 3 weeks, and I have, I mean, he's made a lot of very powerful decisions about how to integrate, Crimea more into the Russian economy, how to improve not only in the two major cities in Crimea, but also the rural. You know, he's talking about how one of the problems with the way things developed, and this is probably comes out of the central planning sort of aspects that were in place in the Soviet Union, is that power gets concentrated in the hands of the few and usually in the more dominant cities. And he really believes that, especially in Crimea, he said, you know, we need to have concrete proposals that integrate the other citizens of Crimea, you know, things that matter for them, transportation, good train stock, depots that are comfortable in cold weather, although Crimea is not as cold as most of Russia.
It's pretty mild, right?
Yeah, pretty mild, but still the infrastructure was worn down, and it certainly was worn down before the referendum to rejoin Russia. And so those things are noticed in Russia. And if you actually look at the incomes, even in rural areas, a lot of criticism from the West is like, oh, yeah, they always show you Russia, you know, they always show you Moscow and St. Petersburg and blah, blah, blah. But they don't show, you know, how ruthless, you know, the lifestyle is in rural Russia. Well, under Putin, it's become a lot better all across, Russia, and he's really emphasized in his presidencies, you know, to integrate the eastern part of Russia, Vladivostok and Siberia and all this, and he's really made a lot of inroads in that. And just recently, he's gone to Siberia, cities in Siberia, and talks about, you know, infrastructure and how to integrate more people, not only just the technical class, but farming classes and also he's really emphasized the importance of taking care of the seniors and taking care of retirement age people in an equitable way across Russia. So much of this is basically trying to set up a government that is more representative and where prime ministers and cabinet members are really sort of chosen or at least approved, you know, like in America, you know, the president can, nominate for Supreme Court justice, and he can, you know, nominate for people on the National Security Council and mm-hmm. his cabinet members, but they all have to be approved, you know, by Congress.
Okay, now we're about to come up on the break, but are you able to hang on and stay with us?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Patrick and William from Montana. And so, William, Dmitry Medvedev, who had been prime minister for the past 8 years, he resigned. Now, I think he was the head of the United Russia Party, Yedinaya Rossiya.
Right.
And he was the head of it, but I guess they've been winning the most recent election. I guess they got 54.2%, and the communists came in second at 13.3%, and they are a pro-Putin party. So my first question is that more of a where does Medvedev have his base of support? Has he been able to build an independent base of support in that party?
I think so, and you know, the fact that he resigned doesn't mean that he's out, because you know, you have to understand a little bit more about the structure of how the Russian government runs, and one of the things that was mentioned and not too many people know very much about is what's called the Russian Federation State Council. And this is an advisory body that basically is there to assist the president in a coordinated functioning. And the interaction of all these very complex state bodies. Like I say, Russia is a very large country, and so in order to integrate this very large country, this state council is composed of a lot of members, and some of the members that are in the state council are leaders of political parties, both in and out of office, and then all the heads of various large, you know, state organization, and also representatives from, like I say, these far-flung, regions. you know, have governors and things like that. And so, you know, the president of Russia, Putin, is the chairman of this state council. And there's been some talk that, you know, they say, well, he'll definitely retire in 24. Or maybe, you know, he'll be sneaky and change the Constitution. That's why everybody said, what? He wants to change the Constitution. And everyone said, oh, in the West, they all said, oh, he's going to change it so he can have a third, you know, a third run. But it's, you know, some people in Russia, some commentators I talked to said he may, you know, he could actually resign before the end of his term and then take up a position, you know, in the state council in a sort of advisory capacity as a senior and well thought of and trusted, politician. And then this state council can exert a lot of influence. And it, one of the things that I've always found in watching some of the proceedings of this is there's an enormous amount of transparency as to the issues that are out there. And you know, like I say, you have to be kind of a, you know, esoteric watcher of political maneuverings in Russia. But I've always been, you know, when I follow some of these transcripts, I'm always amazed at what actually gets discussed.
Yeah. I just want to butt in for just a second. Yep. You remember Deng Xiaoping, who was, yep, everybody acknowledges he was the leader of China from maybe late 1970s until pretty much his death in 1994. I know he had a physical decline, but he was never president. He was never prime minister. He was never general secretary of the Communist Party. His highest position was chairman of the Central Advisory Committee, and yet, yep, he ruled from that position.
And I would say that there are some parallels. You know more about China probably than I do, but you know, there are some parallels that, like I say, I'm always amazed at the candidness of the discussions. You know, when you look at what, you know, like you and Jeremy, I mean, you have more of a stomach than I have. I mean, I could not have watched all the shenanigans and all that crap that went down with the Democrats. I mean, I was like saying, how do you do it? I mean, you know, do you have a bottle of really good bourbon there that you,
well,
take a few?
Well, Jeremy is every... from Kentucky, and that's where they do have the bourbon, so.
Yeah. So anyway, like you say, you know, this advisory council is a place where everything gets out on the table. And so one of the things that I find about the Russian government is no one doesn't know what's going on. And they also have it's a great listening device to find out what the real problems are. And you know, like I say, I have great admiration for Putin in his ability to clean up a lot of corruption. And the first proposal I talked about was this thing where you had to live in Russia for 25 years. You've never been able to, you know, live outside the country, and you couldn't have any type of residency, and you certainly couldn't have dual citizenship, which is really the bane of our existence.
It sure is. Okay, well, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. you need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
So we are back, and first thing I just want a little bit of review. So this big upheaval in Russia was as a result of constitutional amendments proposed by President Vladimir Putin, which would decrease the powers of the presidency. And you know, we have a system in Russia, I say we, where you've got a president and a prime minister. Now, in America, we have just a president. He has all the executive authority, supposedly. I mean, we can see with Donald Trump, it might not necessarily be like that. But the executive authority is entirely under the president. You've got Great Britain, where you've got a prime minister and no president. There's a queen, but the prime minister wields all the executive authority. But you do have these systems around the world where you've got both a president and a prime minister. In places like Israel, Germany, Italy, the president really doesn't do a whole lot, mostly ceremonial, and the prime minister has most of the power. Korea, where you've got a president and a prime minister, and the president is much more important, and the prime minister basically works for the president. You got a place like France, where usually the president's more important, but sometimes the prime minister, who answers, I think, to the parliament rather than to the president. Sometimes if the opposition controls the parliament and the prime minister is from a different party, then there's kind of power sharing. Now, in Russia, their original Russian, Russian Federation constitution would have been written probably in 88 or 89 before the Soviet Union broke up. And then you had this episode in 1993, and it's very interesting when we've got the impeachment trial of Donald Trump about to start. You had Boris Yeltsin was impeached, and there was a trial presided over by the head of the Russian Constitutional Court, and Boris Yeltsin was removed from power according to the Constitution. And right. Boris Yeltsin, rather than leaving power, he called out tanks and they shot at the Russian parliament building. And then they let out president who should have been President Rutskoy, but he was in handcuffs, and the Speaker of the House, Hasbulatov, and they were placed under arrest, and a new constitution was promulgated that gave the president huge powers. And that's the president. That's the constitution that Putin operates. So it's not as if Putin had accumulated those presidential powers himself. He inherited them, and he's used them. And if you want to say he's authoritarian, you can say he's authoritarian. But he's never operated as a dictator, and he has obeyed the constitution. He obeyed the term limits and left office for 4 years, now. When he's looking towards maybe passing the torch on to a successor, he's proposing less powers for the president, and so I just wanted to set that up. So
very good job,
thank you. Well, now I'm passing the torch to you, the baton to you. So take it and run with it.
Well, you know, you have to understand that, you know, Russians really are not opposed to a powerful leader. As a matter of fact, they almost require it. And this is not only a powerful leader that has political power, but charisma, someone that they really believe has the best interest of Russia at heart. And Putin, in many ways, I would say, he has a very good record of really placing the interest of the Russian people at heart. And, one of the things, it's interesting that, he knew that there was going to be this transition. You know, I heard one guy say, well, Putin will never retire. Well, yes, he will retire when he's 92, you know. But I really believe that Russia is going through this was kind of a shock to me. You know, I mean, this happened on Wednesday, and on Thursday we have a new prime minister, and I didn't see that coming that fast. I did see it coming. I have a couple commentators that
you thought, Medvedev would be removed as prime minister sooner or later.
Yeah, and that, you know, I think some people say, like, you know, he was saying, well, after Putin, then guess what? I become, you know, president.
Widely seen as the heir apparent?
I think some of these changes cast some doubt on whether that was going to be automatic. And one of the things, when you get back to this Mikhail Mishutin, it's very interesting to know, which is hard to do because, you know, he's been in the background. Unless you're a Russian follower, you know.
Well, you are a Russian follower, so you are a Russian follower. And so, what was his profile? How high was his profile? Is he somebody that Russian people would have been pretty familiar with?
If you were in and around Moscow, you would have been familiar with him. But one of the things that he's very intelligent, and he, took on one of the biggest tasks, most complicated, one that not too many people gave him, gave anyone, a chance of really doing, and that was to modernize the tax system and to actually, develop a system that would include more people, because if you weren't living in St. Petersburg and Moscow, there was a lot of small businesses that just fell through the tax. You know, they didn't pay taxes. It was hard to determine their income, and they were sort of suspicious because much of the tax money was collected and was hauled off to Moscow. And so he was able to go in. He's very technically proficient. He has a doctorate in a technical science, and I think he was trained as, you know, some type of engineer, information engineer. I mean, he's hailed as one of the most intelligent sort of this new group of people who embrace high tech. I know that Putin has followed him because he has come in and said, not only has he headed up this federal tax service, but he's computerized it. He's made it fair. He's also shown that this isn't to milk the people. It was basically to show them, that they needed to pay taxes, and then to show them that they would see a return on their taxes, even if they were from a rural area. They would get money was shunted back based on the taxpayers, how many they were and what they collected. Money was shunted back to make sure that clinics, rural medical clinics, infrastructure, bridges, roads, public buildings actually got built. And so when people saw that, they really started trusting that this was a system that could possibly work for them too. He has a PhD in economics. That's what his official biography says. Yeah. But he's also been a high-tech IT expert. And he has done a lot to advance this whole, he was very important in embracing information technologies from the West, and then taking them over and making them truly, of a Russian variety and dominated by Russian technicians. And so that whole, at first it was like, oh, no, he's going to try to, this is going to be a draconian a method of keeping people from tax evasion. But when people saw how this promoted small businesses in rural areas and that it actually had a return, that really, gave these rural people confidence that there was, politicians in Moscow and St. Petersburg that were really trying to do a lot to help all of Russia. And one of the things that, one of the things that he's really been into is AI. Now, that is a real scary, that's a hot topic. But, he basically said it is a difficult topic, but I will guarantee you that if we don't get on top of this, this is going to come back and bite us. So even mm-hmm. though he's very cautious about this, he said it is the wave of the future. No doubt, it's going to be used in economics. It's going to be used in science, and so he's really been pushing that. And that's one thing I've heard Putin say about him is that this guy, who has real deep feelings about family and the Russian. Mm-hmm. The Russian culture and everything. I mean, he's really, he's a hockey player, and blah blah blah. Which, if you don't go out there and you can't put the puck in the net, a lot of Russians, especially in the rural areas, are saying you're not really a man. So, I mean, he has this these other components. Like I say, he's not very well known, but to Russians, these things matter. And the fact that he is this IT expert. The fact that he finally did get this whole tax service under his belt and working, Putin likes that, and the Russian people like that. They like to see someone tackle an almost impossible task and pull it off. I mean, it took him, 10 years or so, but he eventually got this thing under control, and it's benefited both Russia and it's benefited the people in the streets, even though the streets are made of gravel. It's not mm-hmm. just the streets of Moscow. Okay. And so that's another big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So a couple other questions while I have you. I pointed out that Mishustin is half Jewish. I don't judge people based on that. I actually don't. I do reserve the right to identify people's ancestry, because I think right now it matters to know. I don't judge anybody by it. But I wanted to ask about Ukrainian President Zelensky, who, you know, he's Jewish. He was a Jewish comedian. He got elected president. Now, he wasn't his platform negotiation with Russia? And
it was, and it's actually it's underreported, but actually there was the beginnings of really a rapprochement with Russia. I mean, he talked with Putin, and they're trying to. I mean, he's in a difficult situation because, you know, if you make peace with Eastern Ukraine, that's a big jump from where Poroshenko was coming from. And there's a lot of emotional and deep-seated, deep-running resentments and who knows what. So it's not something that he could just come into office and say, I'm going to change policy. But he actually, you know, he's made some headways with Putin on transit of, you know, a gas and oil pipeline through the Ukraine, and also... he's starting to talk about the fact that, you know, this war, you know, of Kiev against the eastern province of Ukraine is a losing battle for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be something that's going to be for the benefit of people. And, you know, and Poroshenko is still, I mean, he's the head of the opposition party. So even though he's been defeated, I mean, he's still, you know,
he's still a factor,
chomping at the bit. Sort of come back. And, I mean, if you want to see somebody who, I mean, Poroshenko was the head of the state bank, you know, and he was trying to cut deals with Western bankers, the same bankers that put Greece in deep trouble. And, you know, that was one of the things that the Ukrainians had seen, that this was really under Poroshenko. The plights and the prosperity of Ukraine has took a nosedive. So I think that already, and like I say, I haven't seen much about this in the Western press, but he and Putin have been negotiating, you know, especially about this pipeline across the Ukraine into Eastern Europe, and also trying to figure out how to stop this war. And this fighting in eastern Ukraine. Another thing that's underreported is that a lot of people don't know that, you know, when Poroshenko was shelling and bombing defenseless civilians in the eastern section of the Ukraine, Russia took, you know, close to 1 million Ukrainians fleeing that. Mm-hmm. These were common people, and many of them resettled in Russia. And many of them were resettled in eastern Russia, because Russia has a very aggressive program of saying, if you want to go to eastern Russia, we have prime real
estate. Eastern Russia, close to Siberia, towards Siberia.
Yeah, close to Siberia. And if you want to go there, we'll give you so many hectares to us. And we'll also give you loans, no interest or low interest, or even loans that you can work off by establishing a going operation, a rural agricultural going operation. And so there's also been talks with the Ukraine of resettlement, you know, of bringing some of these people back who lost everything illegally. I mean, they were run off their property. Mm-hmm. They had to flee for their life. And no one is, I haven't seen too many articles in Western, you know, media talking about this humanitarian rescue that happened. I mean, 1 million people were actually they accelerated their ability to get Russian citizenship, and also this resettlement. But you know, many of these people still identify as Ukrainian, and Putin has talked about
they identify as Ukrainian. Are they more from? So to speak, ethnically Russian or ethnically Ukrainian? Do they speak Russian?
They are definitely ethnic Russian. That's why they were being bombed by Poroshenko and killed by Poroshenko.
By the way, I just want to say, when he first became president, I said I thought he was Jewish based on writing a document from Cambridge Analytica. I no longer consider Cambridge Analytica a legitimate source. Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back. It is Thursday, and that is Thursday. That song is Thursday by Philbert Applebag. Okay, William, are you still with me?
Yes. You know, one thing I want to say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, President Putin just named his successor. You know, but if that law, that the proposal that that Putin made, that you have to be living in Russia for 25 years, you can't have had residency or stuff, if that's changed in the Constitution, then Mishutin can't hold the office of president because he lived he lived for I think 3-4 years in Germany working for Deutsche Bank. And I think that there's a big, that this is very significant because he has extremely good relationships with Russia, especially the Russian business community. They know of his prowess. They know what he did when he was.
He has good relationships with Russia or with Germany?
With Germany. Okay. With, and I'm sorry, with Germany. And, you know, there is a growing, you know, as we've discussed before, you know, Mackinder's warning in 1905 that, boy, we can't let Russia and Germany get together. Because that will be the end of the England and their friends across the pond, because it'll just be too dominant. And one of the things that I think, and one political commentator I read last night, said that he has not only this incredible technical, economic, and IT background, but he actually knows the German people very well, and he has a lot of respect among the German business community, and that is growing leaps and bounds. I mean, economic development, in spite of all the sanctions, is really developing, and there's a lot of politicians in Germany that are saying that the heir of Merkel is coming to an end, because, I mean, she's done a lot to really... do in Germany in many ways, with her whole pulling in all these immigrants who, you know, supposedly they were going to take over.
They're going to pay everybody's pensions.
Yeah, they were going to pay the pensions, but nobody's working. I mean, all these people, very low percentage of these people ever come on to the boards. And so one of the things that this one commentator was saying was that he has such good relationships with the business community and even politicians that this extended role as prime minister, and Putin is saying that he wants the prime minister to take a more active role, a more visible role in government. You know, I mean, you know, that's a big change, and Putin is encouraging that. And if he does take a bigger role, you can tell, you'll just know that he's going to encourage this interaction, business-wise and otherwise, with Germany. And there's a lot of politicians that are chomping at the bit to embrace this once they can sort of wrest control away from Merkel, and even her own party is starting to say that the wave of the future is that we have to look towards Russia for economic development. And both countries will benefit as a result.
That's fascinating. Thank you for answering the call of Justice and Duty, William from Montana.
I'll go back and finish feeding my birds.
All right, you do that. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.